and Tyler doesn't struggle with that. He has such true confidence in that. And he had such true confidence that this is where we were supposed to be, and that. Oh, am I getting a timer?
No, we forgot to record it.
Oh, okay. Sorry, sorry.
It's
okay. For everyone joining, we have covered belonging in the church. Mostly. Almost done with it. But I did, so just choosing to believe that I was not left out and that this is where we belonged and that whatever was going to happen was going to happen and things would work out. The truth would out. That's what Tyler loves to say. The truth will out. And I realized if I saw myself as a B participant in the body, it's not because of the A participants in the body. It is something lacking in how I saw myself and a deep misunderstanding of the sufficiency of Christ. I also had a couple small things too that really helped me. I really enjoyed one of Ben's sermons where he, I'm not gonna go into this a lot, but he talks about soldiers, athletes, and farmers out of a passage in a, I can't remember now. Anybody? Soldiers, athletes, farmers. She's on it. 2 Timothy. It was a good one. And I should have looked that up earlier. But I, you know, like it was just something tangible that I could hold on to. I thought maybe, you know, like our family could function more as like athletes carrying truth in situations or soldiers trying to be purposed toward like one thing. But I realized, I was struck by the fact that we probably had done more farming than anything else. When I like re-listened to it to give my testimony the first time, I just was struck by how much farming we did during that time. It was a process of slow, patient work in the waiting. We methodically plodded through choosing to love people. We had bursts of the Lord's mercy and favor with a promotion at work or a blessing of Lucy Girl that we had prayed for. But hearing that sermon just really turned things around for me in some ways. I felt like I had something to hold on to, and that just being in the body was purpose enough. And that the use of giftings were great, but they were like outpourings. But just being there and being open and being willing to receive things that people want to tell you was the work. And that was the waiting. And even more, that was the blessing of the waiting. In the book, Pride and Prejudice, London seems like an abrupt halt in the actions of Jane Bennett, but not to her growth or to her development. The waiting there is where she actually matures. In London, she's forced past an initial idealism into a place of emotional endurance and moral strength. And London is a necessary part of her development, and it has been for me as well. And the last thing I will say, which I hope I articulate well, without crying, is one of the comments. There's just certain key things and key comments that people make have really impacted me in so many ways, in anxiety and in this. But we went over to Bill and Teresa's house. Where's Teresa? Hi. We went over to their house to play with the kids and just to kind of get to know them. We live kind of close to them and you know, we're like, yeah, let's go meet them. It's pretty early on when we had more than one kid, I think. So it wasn't super early, but early enough. And I don't know if you remember this, but I remember we were, you know, they sat us down on those like nice little pew benches they have in the basement. And they were like, tell us about yourselves. And so we did like a rundown of what we probably would tell someone if we were like entering a new church and just in general. And Bill Hughes is so amazing. And you, by extension, I think we're supportive in this, so I'm going to include you in this. Bill and Teresa were so amazing. Because he, out of nowhere, just said, like, oh, you guys should be, like, home group leaders. And we laughed, because we thought that was ridiculous. And we are not asking to be home group leaders in any way. But I remember that stuck with Tyler and I so much. And I remember when I did my testimony the first time for ECF, I actually just ended it with that we laughed, and it's true. But the true story is that after he said that and we laughed, I said, you don't want me. Sorry. That was my lips. I said, you know what, me? I am riddled with anxiety. I was like, I'm such an anxious person. We would be terrible home group leaders. And it was a hard season for us. And it was just so funny. He didn't argue with me. He didn't say, I'm sure that's not true. He didn't say, you'll be fine. He didn't say anything other than, oh, okay, we'll see. And I just that example stuck with us so much. That just hope anchored within our hearts. Not that we would do home group stuff, but that someone could, in the Spirit, believe in the power of God and the power of the Spirit and what the Spirit could do in our lives to bridge the gaps between where we were and where he saw that we could be. And for anyone who is trying to walk with someone that's struggling with that feeling of belonging, that's it. Like that made it for us. That made us feel like we were where we should be, because he assumed the best of us. He expected good things from us with hope. He encouraged us. And even when it might not have been the exact right answer, he allowed hope to just kind of shine through that. He expected good things for and with us, and just expected the Spirit to carry us through. And I think that attitude is amazing. That's how I want to treat people, with that hopeful expectation that they want to change, or that they want to do the right thing, or that they want to get better. They probably know what they're doing, you know, and just walk patiently with them in it while God is walking patiently with them in it. So to segue into anxiety from that, I was going to talk about kind of the role that anxiety has played for me. And this is a time where maybe instead of feeling like I was waiting on God, I feel like God was just patiently waiting on me. And there are some things that certainly God did in the waiting. And I will say, I mean, I'll say this is like a London time, but it wasn't like a Pride and Prejudice London time. It was like a post-apocalyptic, like zombie 28 days later London time. It was not calm London time. It was like, whoa, London time all the time. But I was waiting. We were in the waiting. It was a hard season. It lasted a long time. But I will tell you some of the things that God helped to do to break through that spirit of anxiety in me that was at least previously very constant. Praise God that he gave me a husband like Tyler. I got a lot of feedback on this next line. And I gave it an ACF. You could just feel the ruffle like go through the crown. But I will say, truly, praise God that he gave me a husband who refuses to let me make my own choices, especially when they're hurting my family. And in many ways, I am still working out how to be a submissive wife to Tyler. But if there was ever an advertisement for the need of submission in a home, it's my struggle with anxiety. Tyler could certainly speak better to this than me, but he has had to be my eyes and my ears and my mind in some things. I see what I fear. And unfortunately, I combine that with medical things so that it's like kind of could be plausible, which is dangerous. So he has to help keep me kind of on the straight and narrow there. And I believe even recently there was something, I was excited to give this testimony originally, and then I was not, because I had like a really hard week where I was focusing in too hard on something medical for my kids. And his answer was like, well, let's just wait and see what happens. And I was like, come on, God, I know what this weekend is about already. Okay. I'm going to learn about it there. Stop. But it's real and it's true. And I think he was trying to help bring out some things about anxiety that are important for this talk, which is that it is not loving to let someone live in their sin. And my husband will not stop. He is a pretty relentless pursuer of my sin until we root it out. It is a testament to his never-ending patience with me. And I cannot even begin to express like how much work he has done and is doing to help me take the worn-in patterns of fear and like where my mind wants to go automatically and turn them into peace and praise. I will also say another word, like an individual word, was very key for my issues with anxiety. Ben Flannery gave me a word from the front of the room about my anxiety. And I remember thinking, like, I've never talked to him about that. I talked to Kate, like, once. I mean, I'm sure they talk. And so it was like, but it was from the Lord, right? It was from the Lord. He had a true word from the Lord. And he nailed it. He nailed it. And it was just so encouraging to me to know that I had people walking with me that I hadn't even had to share directly with, and who were burdened with prayer for me. And often in walking in anxiety, you feel very alone, and you feel like you're the only one who knows the truth and the only one who realizes what needs to happen. And it is so freeing to realize that you have others and that others see you struggling and are burdened, you know, in the Lord for you. Which transitions to my endurance of my home group. And I said this at ECF, and I'll say it again. Through the years, Carly has suffered through it with me. All of my home group has. The Hendersons truly watched me break down on a group family vacation. I ruined it. I mean, I ruined the whole vacation. It was bad. And it was such a wonderful, it was South Carolina, such a wonderful place. I still have good memories of it, which is surprising because I was just lost the whole time. I was not sleeping. I was freaking out. I was having all this trouble. And actually it was there that God gave me, and I truly believe, and this is all, you know, just coming from me, and you can take it for what it is, but I feel like I had like a true vision from the Lord where he had, and I'm not going to get into the details of it, but he had basically tied up a personification of my fear and was just waiting for me to kill it. Right? Pretty good. Matt and Julie have empathized and reflected with me. Rachel has prayed with me in so many prayer groups. Hannah Henderson has been personally burdened, like, for me in prayer. And I always say, Rebecca's gotten a free pass, because she's newer, and thankfully has not had to deal with a lot of that. Good for her. But I would say the fear that we have is intended to isolate and needs to be defeated by community. When we talk about walking through the valley of the shadow of death, he is with us. With us. We need people with us in it. And I really believe in confessing it to others and out loud. And that's, again, what my home group had to deal with for years. The fourth big thing was prayer. And I won't linger on this too much, but the prayer of men specifically in the church. There was a time where I went up, like, toward the front, which I don't like to do. And men just surrounded me from the church and prayed over me and prayed God's word over me. And it was beautiful. They acted with the word of the Lord and with prayer. Isaiah 55:11 is one of my favorite verses. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. And finally, number five, choosing to believe in the steadfast love of the Lord. Just choosing it. Only the enemy can keep you focused on other things and prioritize other things, you know, to keep you in an anxious state. And if I let him do that, I can't be transformed into his image. 2 Corinthians 3:16-18 says, but whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. We can't do that. We can't do that if we're not looking into his face. We have to just look into his face. And everything has something like that in their life. I still do. But thankfully, as a body, we can act as those mirrors for one another and reflect the facets of Christ that he has given us uniquely to help encourage others, and acting in the Spirit to remove that veil, to turn our friends toward Christ who ripped that veil down for good. And that's the end of my testimony.